Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 24 Communications Make It Happen podcast. I'm your host, Callie Hintze. At 24, we make it happen every day. We've built a fast-growing ad agency, combining our award-winning talent with client vision, translating real results to the bottom line. Here, we'll bring you stories, content, and more from real-life entrepreneurs, just like us, who make it happen every day in their own field. We hope you leave inspired and ready to make it happen in your own life. Thanks for tuning in. Okay, thank you for joining us today. I'm here with Peggy Sutton, CEO and founder of To Your Health Sprouted Flower Company, and this is the 24 Communications Make It Happen podcast. Welcome, Peggy.
Well, thank you for having me, Callie. I'm glad to be here.
So, just a little backstory here. We've been working with you since 2014, I think,
yeah.
And have been on this journey with you for quite some time. And Jennifer and I, in our business, are always talking about how can we add value to others? How can we use our business to try and inspire others, other entrepreneurs, lift people up? And we thought, well, what better way than to talk to some of our incredible clients who are making it happen every day. So you are the American dream. You represent everything that's possible when you live in a free country. You have a strong work ethic. You have a great product. And you're willing to gut it out in the face of adversity. So we wanted to talk to you, and just full disclosure, you're like my second interview, so total guinea pig. You're in the hands of a real pro here, so just bear with us as we kind of get this thing off the ground.
Sure.
So obviously, I know your story, and you know, my team knows your story, but for the millions of people who are sure to subscribe to this podcast, tell us a little bit about how Healthy Flower started and how you got into the sprouted flower business.
Sure, I'll be glad to talk about that for a few minutes. So, in the beginning, I never really pictured growing this into a business. But as it happened, the business became a reality. So, the company really started, it was a personal endeavor on my part. So, I took up running at the age of 41. And along with that, I wanted to change the way that I was eating to go along with my new lifestyle or healthier lifestyle. And both sides of my family enjoyed really long lives. You know, my Aunt Florence is about to turn 103.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so I started looking at the traditional way that food was prepared back in those days. You know, when our grandparents were living off the land, so to speak, and great-grandparents, and back when heart attacks and cancer were rare at best. And so I stumbled onto how most grains back in before the Industrial Revolution were sprouted naturally in the fields, because the farmers would either store them in the fields, but precipitation would sprout the grains until the farmers could sell them or use them. These are pre-combine days.
And when you say sprouted, just for those who may not know what that means the plant part.
Yeah, so
the
seed head, the seed head would actually germinate.
Okay.
Yeah. So grain back in those days was a lot healthier than it is now, and I'll be glad to explain in a minute why.
Okay. Yeah.
But I was fascinated. I was like, well, isn't this something? I love to bake. So I went and ordered some organic wheat berries and I put them in mason jars and sprouted them in my kitchen and dried them, dehydrated them, and then I have a little mill, so I milled some fresh flour and made loaf bread. I was absolutely astounded at the difference, not only in the taste of that bread, but how my body recognized it.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a believer that there is a big difference in sprouted baked goods versus unsprouted baked goods.
And when you say how your body recognized it, meaning how you felt?
Yes, how I felt. None of that bloating that, you know, you sometimes get with the bread. Anybody who has a sensitivity to grains may get a headache or whatever. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that. And my body was basically burning in its energy, mm-hmm. you know, as opposed to it sitting on my hips.
Yeah.
So, which was a wonderful thing because yeah. everyone loves to enjoy bread.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just fascinating. So I started telling friends and family about it. And they were like, well, we're not going to sprout, mm-hmm. but we'll buy your bread. So I started making sprouted flour and baking breads and crackers and muffins and granola and selling it. And then a few stores, local stores, wanted my products. And mm-hmm. then I decided to go to some farmers markets, and it really caught on. And my husband happened to be building a brand new barn out back. You know, we're rural. We're out in Bullock County, mm-hmm. Alabama, which is very rural. And our home, as a matter of fact, is in the middle of a cow pasture. So I asked him if he'd let me have a 12 by 24 foot space so that I could get licensed as a commercial kitchen and move from my home kitchen. So he was nice enough to do that. Well, 3 years later, when we built our first commercial building on the current site, he finally got to use his barn as a barn because the business just grew, I mean, double digits. And people really loved the baked goods. Then I started getting emails and phone calls. I like to bake too. Can I just buy your sprouted flour? And so this little light bulb goes mm-hmm. off. Yes, that's what I wanted to get everybody to in the first place.
Yeah.
So we phased out the baked goods and started making just organic sprouted flour for people. So we started out with wheat, spelt, and rye. And now we sprout 28 different grains, legumes, and seeds, and we even sprout almonds. So that's, you know, how the company took off.
So in the beginning, was when you started selling the flour, did you have stores at that point that were calling you saying, hey, we want to carry it in our mom and pop market, or
so that's how it started out. Yes.
Okay.
So I had some local stores that wanted to carry our flour, and I had a couple of co-ops that wanted to sell the flours. And you know, a good week of flour sales in the beginning was about 200 pounds of flour. And then the little stores, mom and pop stores, started calling. And one day the phone rang, and it was Whole Foods Market, and it was their Northeast Regional Bakery, and they wanted 10,000 pounds.
Oh my goodness.
We can't get it anywhere else. We want 10,000 pounds of sprouted flour. And that's when I told Jeff, I said, well, my little hobby, I think, has an opportunity to really become a business.
Uh-huh.
And so he's like, yeah, I think you're right, but we need a commercial building. You've got mm-hmm. to move from the barn. And so that's how we really began to grow. So we built our first commercial building in late 2010. We moved in. I was able to hire some employees. So I had a miller, and I had a couple of guys in production who were actually doing the sprouting and the drying for me. And then I had a couple of employees in packaging so that we could get all this done. We thought we'd grow into that building, maybe 4 or 5 years. And 2 years later, we were already opening our second expansion because sprouted grains and sprouted flours all of a sudden went mainstream. Mm-hmm. And the way that we had built the business all along was education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had our website, didn't do advertising, so to speak. Mm-hmm. We would go to trade shows. But the main thing that we did online, besides have our products for sale, was to educate the consumer on why you would want to consider sprouted flour.
Are you looking for a creative team who can help bring your vision to life? At 24, we translate brand awareness straight to your bottom line. Check us out today at 24c.co.
So, there's a long list of reasons why you would choose sprouted flour over unsprouted flour, but I'll just start with one and we'll move through the other ones. And I mentioned earlier that first loaf of bread I made, the taste difference was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
So when you sprout the grain, sprouting brings out the individual taste of each grain. So, and for example, so red wheat becomes mildly sweet when you sprout it. Spelt, which is an ancient wheat variety, is very nutty mm-hmm. when you sprout it, as opposed to just wheat
mm-hmm.
Tasting the same. Kamut is another wheat variety, and when you sprout it, it gets really rich, buttery taste. So that's what I mean by sprouting brings out the individual taste of each grain or each legume. And also in the sprouting process, so all seeds have this natural barrier around them, and it's there to protect them until they're planted and or water is applied to them. So the sprouting process breaks down that barrier mm-hmm. and it's that barrier contains phytates and phytic acid, and you'll hear that in, you know, a lot of the foodie conversations
mm-hmm.
about anti-nutrients. So that's what that barrier is okay. all about. It breaks down during the sprouting process, and when it breaks down, it allows all the dormant nutrition in that grain to come alive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, it's like turning the dormant seed into a living plant.
Mm-hmm.
So vitamin A, vitamin C begins to multiply a hundredfold. A lot of B vitamins are actually produced in the sprouting process. So all of a sudden, you've got a living seed, so to speak, that is so much more nutritious for you. And because that natural barrier has been broken down, it's more bioavailable when you eat it. And what that means is your body can digest it better and uptake the nutrition a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a much more nutritious food, and your body can uptake that extra nutrition a whole lot easier. Another benefit of sprouting is, and this goes also to the improved taste of sprouted grains, a portion of the starch in the grain is broken down into simple sugars. We used to say that sprouted bread digests like a tomato,
mm-hmm.
not a potato, to make it very
yeah.
simple. It's not quite that simple, but that's a good analogy
mm-hmm.
for people to understand, and how your body recognizes it differently too.
Mm-hmm.
Because a part of that starch is broken down into simple sugars, which adds, you know, to the sweetness. It takes away all the bitterness, especially in grains. So, you know, that's another wonderful reason.
So you feel like you've eaten an apple instead of bag of potato chips.
Right. Yeah, sure.
Uh-huh.
You know,
one of the things that I noticed about it, and of course I have been working with you for years, and it's kind of intimidating if you've never baked anything with sprouted flour, never heard of it. And so the first time I did, I thought, I remember you saying just try a simple batter bread. So I thought, okay, I can handle that. So did a batter bread, but the aroma was unbelievable compared to baking with regular flour. I had gone out for a run and I put it in the oven, and my husband was like outside doing yard. He's like, what is that? Because it just permeated. It smelled wonderful. Yeah. And it tastes wonderful.
I'm telling you, once you have baked with sprouted flour, you just don't go back.
Mm-hmm. You really don't.
You know, and why would you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about the process that y'all do every day from start to finish. Like, where do you get the actual grains that you then are going to sprout? And just take us through kind of quickly what that looks like in your operation.
Okay. Day. Yeah. So our operation now is under 44,000 square feet. So from my kitchen in 2006 to 44,000 square feet today. We can sprout 70,000 pounds a week. So remember I said a good week of flour sales used to be 200 pounds. So now we stay pretty busy and our sprouting capacity is about 70,000 pounds a week. So what we do is we are working with some area farmers. I've always wanted to say that I get at least some of my grains out of my mm-hmm. own backyard of Alabama. So that is finally, after a few years, coming to fruition. We're real excited about that. But most of our grain we source out of the upper Midwest mm-hmm. and upper West Coast, because, you know, the grain belt is out in that area. We do get some of our raw grain, and when I say raw grain, this is organic grains that come in to us that have been cleaned, and then they're ready for us to do all the sprouting.
Okay.
So we also get some from Canada,
mm-hmm.
and then grains such as amaranth and quinoa. Quinoa mostly comes out of Bolivia and Peru. Amaranth comes out of India. They're not really domestic grains, so those come in. But all of our products are certified organic. So, and we have quite an extensive supplier approval program, because mm-hmm. We want to make sure that not only are we making a healthy product, but we're starting out with healthy raw materials in order to do that. So once the raw grain comes in, we set it up to be sprouted, and we have these big machines that sprout our grains, and we have quite a few of them. And they were specially made for us, because when I got started, or remember I said I started in mason mm-hmm. jar, and from the mason jar, my husband Jeff and I had to get real creative to increase the volume of our flour, and we went to utility sinks and 5 gallon buckets. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we had to find an engineer who could make our sprouting machines that we now have. So, you know, because there was no sprouting equipment mm-hmm. that existed at the time.
And is it the movement of the machine that sprouts it, or the way it's incubated in there?
It's both. Okay. Yeah. So we'll load a machine mm-hmm. and program it in the back, and it runs the whole thing. So first of all, what we do is we send those grains through a wash and rinse cycle.
Okay.
And then they'll drain and rinse, and then they'll go into a soak cycle, so where the grains actually soak in water for a specific amount of time, depending on what grain it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll drain all of that water off, and then the machines will go into a slow rotation for 24 to 36 hours, and that's what we call our sprouting mode, and those grains will actually produce a visible little tail.
Mm-hmm.
Or whether it's grains, or whether it's legumes or seeds. And then we take the grains out of the sprouting machines once that process is completed. And they are spread on trays and racks. And they go into our drying rooms. And the way that we dry is with very low dehumidification, very low heat, mm-hmm. because all those nutrients that are produced during the sprouting, including the enzymes that are produced during the sprouting, we want to maintain all of that. And high heat will kill off a lot of that. So our entire process keeps everything at low temperatures so that you're getting the best sprouted flour that you possibly can. So once the grain has dried, then it is either packaged or it goes up to our milling department where we mill. And we're constantly making fresh flour. So when you order from our website or from our Amazon store, you're getting fresh flour,
mm-hmm.
because the millers are running those mills all the time.
And for like the person who's new to sprouted flour, that may think, okay, I'm gonna order something, I'm gonna do something real easy that I can handle. What do you recommend?
Well, I would recommend they take their favorite recipe, one that they're used to doing, because it's going to be easy for them, and try some sprouted flour. You know, most of our flours are interchangeable in your recipe cup for cup.
Okay.
You know, one exception to that is going to be einkorn flour. Einkorn is called the original wheat. It's a wheat variety. The funny thing about einkorn is it does have gluten in it, but if you use a gluten test on it, it will come up gluten-free every time.
Oh, wow.
So, but the nice thing about that is that assures you that this is an original grain. It hasn't been hybridized or anything. Mm-hmm. And by the way, organic products cannot contain anything genetically modified, so all of our products would be non-GMO as well as organic for anybody wanting, you know, to know that. But I would say too, of course, we have hundreds of recipes
mm-hmm.
on our website that you can go to try out, but I would say take your favorite recipe and change the flour to sprouted flour, so the best bread, if you're making yeasted or sourdough bread, the best sprouted flours that we have are the red wheat and the white wheat and the kamut. If you're just making cookies or a batter bread,
mm-hmm.
you can use any of the flours you want to, even a gluten-free one, as long as you're not using yeast. You know, you can use a gluten-free. My favorite go-to gluten-free flour is our sprouted sorghum flour.
I was going to say, I just made some banana nut bread over the weekend, and the cup-for-cup thing, I just Googled simple banana nut bread recipe, and if it called for 2 cups of flour, I just scooped 2 cups of the sprouted sorghum, dumped it in there, voila.
Yep.
It was delicious.
Yeah, so. Sorghum is just a fabulous gluten-free flour.
And your popcorn. Let's just talk a little bit about the popcorn. Because that is delicious, the sprouted popcorn.
Yeah, it's
I'd say
so...
you eat your popcorn, and then you go, like, you run out and you microwave a bag of popcorn, you're like, this is poison compared to the sprouted.
So I will say a little bit about the popcorn. So it's so nice and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And it pops beautifully. So one of the things that we're doing, we're looking at a finished product line.
I know this because we're working on your packaging.
Yes, you are. And popcorn is going to be one of our snack lines where we'll have flavored popcorn. So you don't have to pop your own
mm-hmm.
anymore. It will be popped like some of the other brands that are so popular out there. Chickaboom and Skinny Pops, another big one. So we're going to have flavored popcorn products hopefully in the next 6 months. Yeah.
That's very exciting.
So we're really excited about that because there are no sprouted popcorn products out there. You know, another venture that we're on, is sprouted coffee.
Oh, wow.
It makes the smoothest, most delicious cup of coffee
you'll ever have.
Yep. Sprout the beans, and then we have a professional roaster roast the beans.
Okay, please set that up as a subscription service. I'll sign up.
Yeah, so we're real excited about that. And we have a,
when is that
coming? A coffee company that is so excited about it. Yeah, so they're sending in the coffee beans, and we're sprouting them. And then sending them back to them, and they're roasting, and they are just levitating. They're so excited about this project. So coming to your favorite coffee shop near you,
you'll have to try a
cup of sprouted coffee. Yep.
Okay.
And then we will probably carry it as well on our website.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about, like, obviously, I know this in my conversations with you and as a business owner myself, but you don't go from sprouting in your kitchen to building this great business without going through many bumps in the road along the way. And as with anything, you get to places where you're like, this is so hard, I don't know if I can do it. You have setbacks, you have calamities here and there that come, and for the young farmer, young entrepreneur, young business owner, I mean, how have you persevered to this point to see your purpose all the way through?
Yeah. Oh, believe me, a lot of prayer. but I would say to anyone, you really have to take it one day and one week mm-hmm. at a time, because you never know what's coming next. Whether it's a challenge, whether it's a breakthrough, mm-hmm. whether, you know, because when we were growing, so we'd have a period of time where it's like, well, where's the business? We need mm-hmm. more business, so we don't want to take the next step until we've got the business. And then all of a sudden the business comes in, and then it's like, we can't handle mm-hmm. all the business, so we have to ramp up really fast. But then when you're looking at the bottom line, it's like, ooh, mm-hmm. how do we do this? Do we take the leap?
Mm-hmm.
Do we go there and hope that everything works well? So there's always a challenge. There's mm-hmm. always a decision to be made that you're really not, they aren't all black and white decisions.
Right.
Yeah. So you hope, you go into the gray area and hope that it pans out
mm-hmm.
black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you make the wisest decision you can.
Mm-hmm.
So we have made a lot of good decisions. We have made a decision or two in the wrong direction before. I mm-hmm. think, you know, my husband would say to any of our employees, if you're not making mistakes, you're not learning.
Right.
You know, we don't want you to make big mistakes, but don't be afraid to come in and mm-hmm. let us know if you've got an issue going on here, because mm-hmm. we'll fix it, and then you'll know how to avoid it next time, kind of thing. So I think that's a constant thing, and you know, and it's kind of a roller coaster ride. It's certainly not the same plain Jane adventure
every day,
and I mean really on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm in my office and I'm covered up with paperwork and phone calls and meetings, and other days I'm filling in the sprouting department, you know, racking sprouts so we can get them in the drying room, because I had two employees call in sick, maybe. So, but that's kind of the fun thing to me,
mm-hmm.
because I've been there, done that mm-hmm. as I was growing the business. So I do have the opportunity to help. You know, we have a great family of employees, so I have that opportunity to help them in most of the areas, because I did it before they did.
Mm-hmm. And y'all are one of the largest employers in Bullitt County, correct?
Yeah, we're one of them. So, and Bullitt County is the second poorest county in the state. Mm-hmm. So one job in our county equals 27 jobs in the adjoining county. That's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
Yeah, and all but one of our employees actually lives in Bullitt County, which is a great thing.
And it's not every day you can say, I work for the world's largest producer of anything, and y'all are the world's largest producer of organic, sprouted, grain, and flour.
Yes, yes. So we're exporting now, I think, to 16 different countries. So sprouted flour, sprouted grains are catching on worldwide.
So on your ready-to-eat snacks, once y'all get these up and going, how do you get the distribution on that? Does that come to you? Do you go find the distribution? How does that work?
So we have to find it. So we are working with a broker.
Okay.
And that's all they do for us.
Mm-hmm.
Is they take our products and they put them out there in front of the Whole Foods markets, Sprouts, Publix, Kroger's, Harris Teeter's, Wegmans, mm-hmm. all of those chains out there, and try to get them to carry our products. So we mainly have been an ingredient supplier over the years, as opposed to getting into the distribution stream.
Mm-hmm.
But we finally decided that that's a revenue stream that we didn't want to miss.
Yeah.
But not having the expertise, because it can really be a zoo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally and figuratively, to try to work with the grocery buyers in these chains. So a broker who has a lot of good experience, I highly recommend you go that route.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because what we do is we pay a retainer, and then as they get us in stores, that retainer will be replaced by a percentage.
Got it.
Of the sales volume.
Okay.
So it's real affordable. They have all the expertise, and then it works for both of us in the long run. And that's what I would say to anyone who's got a product.
Mm-hmm. Get a broker.
Yeah, get a broker. They're the experts. Let them get you in the stores. Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah. And of course, have a really good website.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a fabulous one. Thanks to 24 Communications, because my little diddly website that I did have was awful, you know, and you guys really, really put us on the map. And we have seen where we used to have, overall, when I said we were an ingredient supplier, that means what we do is we ship out of here 2,000-pound pallets and
mm-hmm.
truckloads our flour.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to manufacturers like Kashi Cereals and, you know, different companies
mm-hmm.
like that. Well, that used to be almost 90% of our business, and our web sales were about 10%. Our web sales have gone up to about 23% of
wow.
our business now. And it has to do with a fabulous website that is maneuverable, that looks great, that really services the customer who's looking for our products. And I have nobody to thank but you guys
wow.
for that.
Thank you for saying that.
And we still get compliments on our website from customers. Thank you so much. Y'all make it so easy to, you know, to shop.
Well, it's interesting, because we built that probably 5 years ago, and it has stood the test of time. I mean, on average, I would say people typically redo their site every 2 to 3 years, but when we look at that site, we're like, it still looks great.
It is. It's wonderful. And it's still educational.
Yeah.
You know, we've got all of our resources and the media that has a lot of articles on sprouted grains, and it just serves a great purpose.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've been an inspiration to our business, and we've watched you over the years and seen you persevere and fulfill your purpose and your legacy, and so thank you for being our client, friend, and we love spending time with you, and I love coming down here and seeing all the new things you have going on, and can't wait to buy your popcorn off the shelf.
Yeah, well, believe me, you'll be getting samples.
Okay. Because
we're working on it diligently. So
if people want to order from you, healthyflower.com.
Healthyflower.com. And we've got $1 shipping going on through the rest of this month. I don't know when your podcast will come out.
But I figure out how to edit it. Yeah. She'll be live.
Yeah. So. But we always run monthly specials in our newsletter, which you all do a fabulous jam up job on as well. So.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being our guest, and I hope you get some new customers.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Thank you.
This concludes today's Make It Happen podcast. Thanks for listening.